Hello and welcome to a special presentation from the Herald Sun footy team as Mick Warner and Mark Robinson take a look back at the Essendon drug scandal 10 years on. This is part one. For part two and all of the fantastic coverage, head to heraldsun.com.au or check it all out on the Herald Sun app. For the first decade of the AFL era, Essendon was the definition of a powerhouse. By the year 2000, the Bombers had just won their second flag and should have won more, and boasted the best facilities, a high-profile maverick coach, and the game's most bankable star in James Hird. Fast forward 10 years and the shine had well and truly come off the boys from Windy Hill. So when the Bombers were able to lure that very same Golden Star back as coach, you can understand why they had hopes of quickly being back at what they saw as their rightful place at the top of the tree. There was so much promise in the air when Hurdy took over that it makes what was happening just 2 years later even more unbelievable. Michael Warner and Mark Robinson covered the saga that followed for the Herald Sun. 10 years on, Robbo and Mick decided to go back over what they remember and what is left unanswered. Here's part one.
I was very disappointed. Shocked, I think, is probably the best word.
As the coach, take full responsibility for what happens within our football department.
The information that we've gathered over the course of the last 24, 48 hours is slightly concerning, and we want to dig a bit deeper, but we want some experts to help us do that.
David Evans, Ian Robson, James Hird walk into AFL House, February 5, 2013, self-report, and I say that, you know, in inverted commas, the alleged use of performance-enhancing drugs or substances at Essendon, and it sets off the biggest bomb, the biggest story that you and I will ever cover, and maybe it's ended, but maybe it hasn't.
Sam Landsberg is talking to Stewie Cramery, who was one of the 34, and looking forward to getting an insight into it from a player.
Well, and it ruined all of those careers, didn't it? Really. Guys like Hurley, you just look at them, they were gun players, a Heppel. It was a good list.
Jolters. It ruined
I think it derailed every single career.
Yeah.
They never reached their potential, any of them.
Possibly. And everyone involved at Essendon would have profound regret at the impact on the players. Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's a good point to start, because, you know, people know pro Essendon, pro Hird, but that's not really what where we were coming from. It was more that there was another side to the story. And the thing with the Essendon story is it's so complicated, so many layers, so many rabbit holes, which will go down today and will probably never come out the other side. You can sit down and talk to people for endlessly about it.
But it's an endless story. Let's go right to the very end. Kaz were comfortably satisfied that Essendon players took Thymosin beta 4. And that was it. They were comfortably satisfied. They didn't say they did. They said we're comfortably satisfied with the strands. Remember that famous
strands of evidence.
The strands.
Or wasn't it the cables? Yeah.
and then that was it. So there was no definitive. Yes, they took performance-enhancing drugs.
Well, that's because, of course, there was never any positive tests.
There was not a lot of the standard of proof that Kaz used. Anyway, that's right at the very end.
Well, let's go to the very start. I mean, that day.
Before that.
All right. Yes, okay, fair enough.
So
When was the first time you got a whiff that something was brewing?
I got a phone call in November of 2012. From a cabbie called Bruce, a cab driver. And I know Bruce, and he's told me a lot over the years, and he told me, hey, I've just driven an Essendon official to the Australian Crime Commission. I said, who was it? He goes, I don't know. I said, okay, that was in November.
Yep. I remember you told me that down at the Portsea Golf Club.
How'd we hit him?
December.
How'd you hit him?
Not well down there. I always find it tough down there.
So anyway, that was the first inkling Right, a club official during the year said to me at one stage, geez, the Essendon players were big. Okay, Essendon had beaten their team, and he said to me, have you noticed that the Essendon players are a lot bigger this year? But he, that's all he said.
Well, Mike Fitzpatrick famously said that, the commission chairman, didn't he, afterwards on an open mic, you know, that they'd presented big-bodied... sort of
from 2011 to 2012.
Yeah.
So anyway...
And that he'd been told that, Pete, that they'd presented in that way.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think that's right?
Well, they're certainly fit. They had a great start to the season in 2012. But it tailed off, but they had a really good start. But, yeah, Bruce the Cabby called me. I made some calls on my last day of work that year. On my last day, I was told it was Stephen Dank. And we didn't know much about Stephen Dank. He was a new phys edder, as Andrew Demetrio
a sports
called
scientist,
him.
But, really.
But yeah. Demetrio knew in 2012, he knew there was some issues because, as we later learned, Essendon's blood was sent to Germany in 2012 for testing. So the AFL had a belief that something was going on at Essendon. So they sent the blood.
Well, SADA would have sent the blood, wouldn't they?
Well, the blood went.
Mm.
And then that's when Demetrio dropped that famous fizz edders and got too much say in the game. So anyway, I found out it was Stephen Dank. I rang Essendon. They said Stephen Dank no longer works at the club.
Which was true.
He was working for Melbourne, which is another...
rabbit hole.
Crazy little rabbit hole.
And had previously, of course, worked at the Gold Coast Suns.
And I went... He hadn't previously worked at the Gold Coast Suns.
And then previously before that provided substances to the Geelong Football Club when Dean Robinson was working. These are some of the inconvenient truths that we'll try and delve into later because... And I'm sorry to interrupt you, but it really annoys me even to this day the way that it was limited to Cronulla and Essendon deliberately. Let's confine it here. Those clubs will go down, but there's other clubs, you know, Manly, for example, which won a premiership in 2011.
Oh, Melbourne's the one, mate. There's a very famous story that Essendon were training at Gosh's Paddock, okay, and they'd sacked Stephen Dank, and the pre-season had started, and there was Hurd and Bomber and Mark Thompson and others standing there, and they look at Melbourne, and there's Stephen Dank.
Mm.
In the Melbourne group, what is going on here?
But it's not illegal to give supplements. This is the thing. This is why Dank had been, you know, in the both codes for decades because supplements are not illegal to use. Obviously, performance enhancing drugs are banned for athletes to use, which is where this saga went. But
I asked someone recently. Why did Stephen Dank get summoned by the Australian Crime Commission? Why? And this person said to me, they would have picked his name up on phone taps. Okay.
But can I just explain to you, because I know the answer why. Australian Crime Commission began a secret investigation into the importation of performance-enhancing drugs into Australia, mainly involving bikies. They wanted to know where these sort of steroids and these illegal drugs were coming from. So they had their own investigation. The Crime Commission has very powerful rules. They can call you in. They can ask you questions.
And you're under oath when you get...
Absolutely
under
oath. If you lie to them, you go to jail.
So Stephen Dank spoke to them.
His name came up
on phone taps. He gets called in. He speaks to the Crime Commission and was never charged with anything.
No, what the Crime Commission did was pass their report to ASADA, who then this is the crazy thing about this story is that before there'd even been an investigation by ASADA, you had David Evans self-reporting, which we know is a load of crap. He was told to self-report by the AFL. Then 2 days later, we had the famous blackest day in sport press conference where all the CEOs, including Demetriou, of all the sports. Stood up in Parliament House and the two Labor ministers said, you know, that Australian sport had been hijacked by
organised
crime and drugs. And we were all like, wow, are all the sports that we love been corrupted.
The work that the Australian Crime Commission has done has found that the use of prohibited substances, including peptides, hormones and illicit drugs, is widespread amongst professional athletes. Links between organised crime and players exposes players to the risk of being co-opted for match fixing.
Now, of course, we now know that that was just crap.
It was complete and utter scaremongering for
without any
reasons.
Basis, because, as I said, ASADA hadn't actually started investigating.
Mm.
So that was the folly for me of Essendon self-reporting, putting up your hand saying we're guilty of something, we don't know what, to do with supplements. From that moment on, they couldn't really defend themselves.
No, they'd lost control.
And that was the strategy that David Evans adopted, the one that the AFL told him to adopt.
Well,
and he must regret to this day, David.
Well, who would know, because David Evans has never spoken.
Well,
Actually, he spoke once. He spoke on the 150-year documentary last year.
Oh, yeah, what did he say?
He said not much. He said not much.
So
read the paper. I'll be putting it in the paper.
Why do you reckon he didn't say much? Why do you think, you know?
Well, I've got a version of events that, you know, and Andrew Dimitro's absolutely denied this. To me, to recent interviews, that he told David Evans that it was Essendon being linked to the performance-enhancing drugs. And that brings us to the Sunday night before they self-reported, where James Heard, Dr. Bruce Reid, Danny Corcoran, and then CEO Ian Robson was at David Evans' house. And three of those four people confirmed to us that...
Well, confirmed to ASADA, more importantly.
Confirmed to ASADA under oath, at which we were able to get hold of, David Evans got off the phone and walked in and said... That was Andrew. Yes, it's certainly us.
They're telling us it's definitely us.
It's definitely us.
Yeah, because the AFL had been at a secret crime commission briefing the previous week.
They had.
In Canberra, where they had to surrender their phones. And this all came out in the federal court as well when Essendon took ASADA to the federal court. So this is all fact that there were handwritten notes from the Aurora Andruska, the ASADA CEO at the time, who confirmed that exchange, where it was Gil McLaughlin who said, "Is it Essendon?" And the answer came, "Say no more."
Mm.
And a judge later said that was the nod and wink to everyone in the room that indeed it was.
So Andrew Dimitro wanted us to believe that Gil come back from the secret meeting with the Australian Crime Commission, senior ministers, right, and ASADA, and come back as his second in charge and didn't tell Andrew Dimitro? Come on.
No, Dimitri was in the room.
Please, no, it was Dimitri. No, there was another one as well, mate.
Yeah, there were
another secret meeting.
But you can understand why the AFL did what they did, because they wanted to control, like they want to control everything.
Everything.
And it gave them the ability to have a joint investigation with ASADA.
Because David Evans self-reported.
Exactly.
There's two stories running parallel.
Which collided like bloody
absolutely.
Road trains on a Nullarbor.
Absolutely.
There was
collided.
What Essendon did to their players.
Yep.
And there's what the AFL and ASADA and others did to
And the government,
you know, to manipulate outcomes.
An outcome.
And preferred outcomes. And that's, you're right, it's two stories. And if people can understand it like that, I think it's easier to comprehend.
Let's just go straight to Essendon.
It's a disgrace.
Yeah, what Essendon did was unacceptable.
It was worse than that.
Yeah, okay.
It was a shambles.
No, we'll go with disgrace. That was your gut feel. They put their players in a position where the players should not have been put.
They injected them substances they don't know what they are, Robert.
Yeah, they do. Only Stephen Dank knows what they were injected with. Essendon believe they had a supplement regime.
Sorry, they injected them substances that they can't prove what they you know, there weren't records that you would think would be required for it.
That's why it was shambolic.
Shambolic.
That was shambolic. There was a supplement program that wasn't first class, and they put the players in positions that they shouldn't have. As you said, it ruined a lot of AFL careers. It went on for 4 years.
Four?
For the players?
Well...
Went on for life.
Yeah,
well... They
definitely 6-7 years at rage.
But they tried to play under incredible duress.
Oh, yeah.
Incredible duress. So it's first and foremost.
So that's, yeah. That,
first and foremost, the players, everyone must feel for the players. But the machinations at Essendon leave a lot to be desired. Absolutely. David Evans, again, has never spoken. He was chairman and escaped all penalty.
Ian Robson. Sorry, just on that. The whole Essendon board.
Escaped
penalty. Boards are ultimately responsible for what happens in a company.
The governance of a football club.
Yeah, aren't they? Yeah, so absolutely. How the board never received any penalty.
Well, Essendon got the footy club got fined, I think, $2.5 million over three instalments. So that was the clubs.
Why didn't the board members
resign?
Why did Ian Robson, the CEO, who ultimately hired these people, why wasn't there?
Well, he resigned.
Yeah.
He resigned. But he didn't speak about the supplement saga.
He escaped. I always find if people don't have the guts to talk about something that they're not confident in what. You know, we ring these people, let's have a chat. But they don't. Not only do they not talk to us, they don't talk to anyone. Why is that? And I reckon it's because they're afraid of what they'll be asked.
It's a very complex story. And when you have a complex story like that, people spin. And people try and control outcomes and people tell their side of the story. That's what they do. And when you challenge that side of the story with facts, people go, I better not be answering those questions. But back to Essendon, Ian Robson resigned. No penalty. He was chief executive of the club.
Landed at the Melbourne Victory.
Paul Hamilton, head of football
for
all of 2012. I think he resigned in September 2012 and were replaced by Danny Corcoran.
Yep.
Paul Hamilton, no penalty. They were the three highest ranking people in the footy club. The president, the CEO, and the head of football. And none of them escaped penalty.
And so that's where the strategy begins, though, isn't it? The strategy was for the AFL to spare the players from suspension and sheet home blame to someone else,
which became
James Hurd, Bruce Reid, Mark Thompson
and Danny Corcoran.
That was the strategy. And it worked largely. Bruce Reid, you know, bless his soul, said, no, I'm not playing ball with that. He issues a subpoena against Brett Clothier.
It was the AFL Integrity.
And they dropped the charges against him like a hot potato. Yep. But the other three, they fold at that incredible.
You know why they drop it, don't you? The AFL don't put anyone in the witness box.
Well, certainly not when they have to answer questions about tip-offs and
when you have to put the hand on the Bible and swear allegiance to the God Almighty. No, they don't like that. So,
well, their strategy wouldn't be something that a judge would like to hear.
No.
Due process.
It was an incredible time, wasn't it? Talking to just before we get to the Essendon people, it was an extraordinary story to cover because Mick Essendon, the Herald Sun jumped on the Essendon, let's kick Essendon to death bandwagon.
Well,
when the story broke,
and so we should have,
right? When the story broke,
yeah,
it was unbelievable. There's going to be deformed babies. There was going to be. They've had 50. I remember one of our back pages said, this is the list of drugs that ASADA are looking at.
It was about 58 of them.
That is ridiculous.
Yeah.
It was absolutely ridiculous. The scaremongering was just out of control. And unfortunately, the players were petrified. They were terrified.
And they were made to be, you know, remember the Mexican drug
that
they said, which actually didn't come from Mexico. It came from El Paso, which is, you probably
been on the border. I've been to El Paso on the border.
But the story took the big turn when you found out, and I remember because I was at Augusta covering the golf, and you rang me and said,
"I rang you. I said we've got a pretty good angle here." Andrew Demetrio, and he's been said,
accused
of tipping off Essendon on the Sunday night.
Monday night, I think it was.
No, Sunday night.
Tuesday self-report.
No, Monday self-report.
Tuesday, 5th of February, but anyway.
Was it Tuesday? And then Wednesday was the blackest day.
Thursday.
Jeez, you got me days mixed up.
You've never been a day. You always say, I don't know what day it is, but I know what round it is.
Yeah, that's very, very true. Yeah. So it was Tuesday and Thursday. I thought it was Monday and Wednesday.
That's right.
So when was the dinner on Sunday night?
Monday night.
It wasn't a dinner. There was an emergency call.
Night of crisis, we called it.
So that led to about a story that we wrote, which you well remember, the night of crisis front page, the accusation.
It was the first time the other side of the story emerged.
That other side. No one even knew that story.
No.
It was the first time that emerged. And did that set the ball rolling?
Well, it was that war.
Appeared on
that was war, wasn't it?
Yeah, that appeared on Thursday.
Yes.
David Evans did a press conference. He had a board meeting Thursday night, and David Evans came out.
Yep.
Of the board meeting, it was a late board meeting, and had a stand up where he was asked some questions.
Yep.
Which he, if by memory, he didn't give much, or he ducked and died.
Yep.
Friday, Essendon were playing Hawthorn in the night game.
And you and I went to that game.
And we went to that game.
You spoke at the Essendon.
The front page is that was the. So the night of crisis appeared Thursday. On the day of the game, the front page of the Herald Sun was the increased tension between James Hird and his great mate, David Evans.
And they were great mates.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely great mates. Did I speak at the Essendonians that night?
You did. And
Did we go?
Yeah, we went to the game. And that was when Evans collapsed in the room.
So in light of the front page story, Hird and Evans embraced in the rooms before the game.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Very frosty embrace. But
It wasn't you and your wife.
It was like you and Ralphie.
It was like you and your wife. You know, it wasn't that embracing, but it was, they touched. And that night after the game, about 11 o'clock, he had a medical episode in the rooms, was taken to hospital. I found that out the next day. And then I found out that he resigned as chairman.
And Liz Lucan resigned that day as well, who was the other.
Liz Lucan. Now, there's another little rabbit sticking its head up. So I've just finished on David Evans. So he resigned and that was it. And he's spoken two sentences since on the supplement saga. That's it. So the story broke Thursday and David Evans resigns Saturday and never spoke about the telephone conversation. It's incredible. To go back to Liz Lucan, tell us about Liz Lucan, Mick.
Well, she, you know, was a crisis manager, a media person who'd been in the background at the AFL as far back as the Carlton salary cap crisis, which you would remember, early 2000s, West Coast Eagles, drugs crisis. She was there in the background.
She was a go-to woman by the AFL.
When the shit hits the fan, bring in Liz. And so, there was never more shit on a fan than when this story broke.
On the Tuesday. So we're at AFL House, and in walks the...
Oh, for the press conference.
Press conference, and in walks the Essendon boys. And then this little blonde lady...
Was she there? I don't...
It was the first time she had been at Essendon. Guess who got her there? David Evans.
Yeah.
Brought Liz Lucan.
So who would have advised that? Anyway, she's helping Essendon's media strategy right up until the night of crisis story is revealed, and then she leaves as well. And then it is.
But there was conflict out at Essendon with Liz Lucan. Mark Thompson at one stage said to Liz Lucan out there as she was trying to micromanage everything. Mark Thompson said to Liz Lucan, "Who are you working for, the AFL or Essendon?" Okay, so how high are the tensions at the footy club when Mark Thompson says that to a person who's supposedly there to help the club?
And that's one of the saddest parts about this story in terms of why people still don't talk to each other and perhaps never will, is there's a sense of betrayal that by going along with what the AFL strategy, it was at the expense of Essendon people.
Yeah, it was.
And there's people who were on David Evans' board who feel that way as well. You know, that those relationships will never be.
No, they're broken. Completely and utterly shattered, some of those relationships.
So then he goes, and this is where, when Paul Little took over, and I like Paul Little, I know in the end he waxed and waned a little bit. He folded at the end.
Yeah, he waxed and waned a couple
of times.
Did that
for the best thing, which he thought for the club.
But when he was at the wall...
Well, the Olsen Hotel...
The Olsen Hotel.
...press conference.
I said to him last week, the Olsen Hotel. And you know what he said? I said, do you remember the Olsen Hotel? And he goes, the Olsen Hotel. He said, man, it was like a warfare.
It was the OK Corral.
We're talking about a press conference James Heard had with Paul Little at the Olsen Hotel.
Top floor penthouse. A beautiful room, if anyone's ever been up there, with a big sweeping balcony, and all the media was told to turn up. I don't know if you went.
No, I don't. I don't know if I was there.
This one, and you think, what are we doing in this? You know, why aren't we at Essendon? But you know, they needed a big space, and that's where Paul Little came off the long run. I've never heard.
He's a beautiful man, Paul Little, and he was furious.
But he's a fierce man too. Like, and that's why that day. That message would have resonated big time. And I'll tell you, because I've never heard and will never hear an AFL official speak the way he did about the AFL executive. He said he'd lost complete faith, called on Mike Fitzpatrick and the commission to take over. And
so he's having a go at Demetrio. I don't think Demetrio and Paul Little were great friends.
That, you know, the AFL is determined to punish Essendon and the Essendon Football Club and the four individuals involved as though we were drug cheats. As chairman of this football club and with the unanimous backing of the Essendon board and based on the evidence, I cannot and will not accept that, like all football followers and football fans, I cannot accept that point of view, and we want this matter resolved as soon as possible. I call on the commission chairman, Mike Fitzpatrick, to step in and take over this process, as I, along with a significant percentage of all football public, have lost total confidence in the AFL executive to handle this matter. Thank you.
That, you know, this is where it was a tit-for-tat period where there'd be a front page here, there'd be a retaliation story here, the AFL dropped charges. It was just like the public must have been, it was like the gangland wars. There was something going off every minute. It was hard to keep up. The next morning after Paul Little declares war,
Sarah the Mum appeared on
Talk Trip. Talk us through Sarah the Mum. Which I reckon was one of those funny, sort of irrelevant sort of things.
But we hadn't heard
of it. It was a game change.
A caller who's just called through, her name is Sarah. We're going to call her Sarah. It's not her real name. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning, Debbie.
Sarah, why have you called Triple M's Hot Breakfast?
I basically called. I'm a mother of one of the Essendon players. And this whole debacle has created an absolute... Sorry, Eddie.
That's okay, Sarah. Take your time.
It's created an absolute debacle, and my worst nightmare as a parent. My son, who plays for Essendon, and who I entrusted to be taken care of, has basically been used as a guinea pig.
Yeah, we hadn't heard a lot from parents. Tim Watson, the father of Joe, had become the official spokesman for the parents. He would hold press conferences after parents had meetings at Windy Hill. And Tim, and as he should have, his son was captain of the club. Tim had a platform. He led the way. But Eddie Maguire announced that Sarah was coming on Triple M. Sarah rang the station, and Sarah got on and spoke about her fears and
she was a mother.
Yeah,
purportedly saying she was a mother.
She was a mother of a child, and this is disgracing, and this is disgusting, and et cetera, et cetera. To this day, Eddie Maguire does not know who Sarah is. I did a radio interview with him on SEN, actually. There was a group of us, but I said to Eddie, you don't even know who she was. You didn't even know who she was. You just put her on.
So she refused to give her name or her details.
Yeah, so they spoke briefly.
And he said that he was convinced enough that she was genuine.
She was genuine. So she comes on, and I said to Eddie, you didn't know her. You can't verify her. He goes, well, you've got sources. I said, yeah, but I know who my sources are. I know them. Right? So Sarah spills out. And guess what? There was a campaign to find out who Sarah was. Not just by the media, by people at Essendon.
Yeah, they contacted every parent saying,
every parent,
that's you. We're not angry. We just want to know.
Just want to know because they were going to give them help because they were concerned. But not one mother, they couldn't recognise the voice. So I did a story a year later. We still don't know who Sarah is. 10 years later, we still don't know who Sarah is.
She's an actress. Paid for by someone to go on radio to
an
as part of a PR.
We believe that. That's the first time I've heard you say.
If you're
publicly
running a market,
I would put actress as number one.
And if you are out there, Sarah, and you want to prove us wrong,
Give us a ring. But that was a real turning point. This is why strategically, people out there.
Sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah, that's all right.
The argy-bargy going on behind the scenes, the AFL desperate to get Essendon to agree to those penalties that you talked about so they could get to the 2013 finals without having Essendon, who were in the – were they in the top four? They were certainly in the eight, you know, incredibly, with all this going on. They wanted to boot them out of the finals and they wanted those people to agree to the penalties. And this is where we got those secret tapes where you can hear – Paul Little explaining to Essendon, Hurd and Thompson and Corcoran and everyone else in the room that, you know, I'm talking to Gill. He said he's 99% sure that the players won't be charged. Agree to these penalties.
Spoke about getting the players cleared unconditionally was the word I used. I rang him last night and I said, you know, you really upset me here because you've gone back on your word, Gill. He said, no. I said, yeah. You told me one thing, now you're doing something else. I've told you how important this as a first step is to get the players cleared. And he said, what do you want from me? I said, well, no. He then said to me, there is a 99% chance that the players won't be charged. I said, well, I'd like to believe you, but are you happy for me to use that language in front of the players? He said, oh, no, you can't do that. Telling me one thing, and over here, we can't say anything to the players. And he said, let me work on it. I will try and give you some language that will give you the comfort that the players so desperately need. But legally, what he's saying is that ASADA or WADA or anyone else won't sign off on an enduring release for the players, because if something turns up next month, next year, they don't want to have a situation where they can't do anything because they've given this full release. And I said, so you expect these guys to be playing footy for the next couple of years with this hanging over their head? And he said, you know, that's what ASADA was saying to us. So I don't know, it's just ran and ran in circles. So
I'm with the club. Well, but just for 6 months, they've kept saying to David, first of all, and now to you, this sort of, we'll all get language, we'll get this, we'll get that. I don't see how this club can survive with players, things being held over their head for the next 18 months.
But they wouldn't agree. James Hurd wouldn't agree. And my understanding is that Tim Watson...
Well, if they give a 100% guarantee, they might have, but you're going to take a 99%.
No, but they wouldn't put their hand up to say we took performance-enhancing drugs.
And that's on one...
They didn't want to say, I'm a drug cheat.
Well, and Cronulla did.
Yeah, and Cronulla...
And that worked out
It worked
well.
Out really, really well. And Danny Corcoran, who I've spoken to, said, that's the big question, why didn't they take the penalty? But people there... And you've got to admire them in some way... Mick,
I do,
by standing by their principles, saying no, we did not cheat.
But in the end, it is it's fair to have it sort of contemplate what might have happened if
they would have got 6 months served
six
over
weeks is what Cronulla got.
Did they really
won a premiership 2 years?
Oh, they'll swap you. They would have got 3 months. They would have got 3 months served over pre-season. Instead, this went for 4 years.
But what about the personalities involved? The coaches and players who bore the brunt of the sanctions. Catch up with part two as Robbo and Mick delve deeper into the stories that mattered 10 years ago. Thanks for listening to part one of Robbo and Mick's chat about Essendon 10 years on. For part two of this exclusive podcast, head to heraldsun.com.au or check it out on the Herald Sun app.